Well, good morning, everyone. I hereby call to order the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. Today's Thursday, May 18th, 2017. The time is 9:04 a.m. And our first order of business is roll call.
Here.
Here. Here.
Not here, but I'm representing him. My name is Peter Noble.
Here.
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 Thank you very much. Mayor Wilson's going to lead us in the prayer and the pledge, if you'll please rise.
Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again with bowed heads and humble hearts, yet thanking you for another day, a day in which we all should be celebrating with peace, love, and happiness. Father, we ask you to bless this meeting and continue blessing our devoted chairperson and the leadership team that you have allowed to be assembled here today, realizing that we do nothing on our own accord, but it's your power and your dominion that see us through. Oh, Father, we say to you, in days of uncertainty, we hold faith to your promise that our labor for you will accomplish your purpose and be of good value in your eyes. We thank you for the work you are doing for us and through us. And finally, Father, we say, let us depart this way. Give us traveling mercy. Give us all traveling mercy, even the ones we fail to call by name, realizing that there are no strangers in our midst, just friends we have not yet met. We give you all the praises and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor Wilson, and welcome, everybody. We have a full house today. Lots of alternates at the table. We're thrilled to have you all. Well, our next item is our agenda. Nick, are there any changes?
Madam Chair, I do want to inform the board that the special presentation that was scheduled, item 1J, the sheriff declined to make that presentation, so that won't be on our agenda this morning.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Weinroth, second by Triola. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Members, before you, you have the minutes of the April 20th meeting of 2017. Are there any corrections or additions? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Burdick, second by... Materio, I'm sorry. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Thanks so much. Comments from the chair. I'll be brief. I just want to thank Valerie and Annie and our partners at Kittleson and Kimley Horn. They finished the first session of our US 1 multimodal study in Boca Raton the last week, and it was really, really, I thought, a great participation, great program, and we came up with some really great ideas. They will be moving to Delray next. So the rest of the county, there he is. I'm like, where'd Jim go? He was talking to me before. I can't find him. Yeah, it's really, really a great team and great ideas. And we were really blessed to, you know, be the kickoff study. So when is Delray? Is next month.
It's June. I'm looking at Valerie.
Okay, well, we have representatives. We have Mayor Grant from Boynton and Councilmember Chard from Delray, so I'm sure they can work collaboratively and find the perfect place. So that concludes my comments. We'll go now to Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Several items on my director's report I'll just highlight briefly. We do have the road impact fee workshop that was requested. We have scheduled that. It is on the Tuesday following Memorial Day weekend in the morning, so please don't forget to attend that workshop. It's going to be out at the Vista Center in the hearing chambers 9 a.m. on May 30th. The goal, again, of that workshop is to refine the desired outcome of this conversation. Is there an alternative to road impact fees that we would like to move forward with as a board? And then if there is a need for legal clarification on whether or not a charter amendment is required to support that objective, then we could ask an appropriately phrased question of the Attorney General to determine whether or not that charter amendment is necessary. Also want to mention the Brightline project has provided the flyers for their first responder workshop talking about improving safety along the rail corridor. Those flyers are at the sign-in table. Mentioned briefly that the Florida Transportation Commission met yesterday to recommend 3 of the 5 interview candidates for the position of DOT statewide secretary, and that ball is now in the governor's court to select one of those 3 individuals or to kick it back to the commission and say none of the 3 are the people I want, and we're moving on.
Yes, Mr. Abrams.
I don't know that that's exactly accurate. I think that Michael Drew was added by the governor, and they actually had another individual as their 3rd recommendation, just for the record.
That's very interesting, yeah. And Ron Howes is an engineer who is on the Transportation Commission, which is the body that recommends to the governor. Interesting. Rich Beiter was an assistant secretary of transportation in charge of multimodal. And I don't know Michael. He's the chief of staff. All right. Well, we heard it here first, right?
I do want to mention this is a very important item. Number 4 on my report is on Friday, May 12th, the president actually signed into law U.S. Senate Bill 496, which repealed the MPO coordination and planning area reform rule that was established under the previous administration. I want to mention both the importance of this for us because it allows us to continue to operate with local voices in transportation planning in the South Florida region instead of consolidating into one MPO for Miami, Dade County, Broward County, and Palm Beach. Now we have 3 MPOs that agree to coordinate on a regional scale for projects of regional importance, but then to act locally on projects of local importance. I think that's very important to preserve that balance. And I also just think it's fascinating that it took an act of Congress to repeal an administrative rule, but it did happen, so we're excited about that. I have provided just a few references on a legislative update for key transportation bills. I'm not getting into the details of what they accomplish in this report, but just making you aware that these 4 bills were passed and sent to the governor for signature. Regulations for transportation network companies, the wireless facilities co-location and public rights-of-way bill, Senate Bill 596. A couple bills that have to do with RTA, both the ability to indemnify the Brightline service so that we can operate tri-rail service into downtown Miami. That's a very important conversation and change to the legislature. And then also some regulations on how state funds are provided to SFRTA, and we'll see how that affects the agency's operations. So I do want to mention the South Florida Commuter Challenge is underway. We are participating in this regional initiative along with our partners both to the north and south, all the way along the southeast coast of Florida. We're encouraging people to travel to work and home from work without driving alone. So you get points for carpooling, you get points for riding transit, biking, or walking, just as long as you're not driving alone. But you do need to go to their website to enroll in the program and then sign up as a representative of your respective agencies so that we can earn miles and then compete against our partners in the region to see who can commute the most miles without driving alone this month. Then I'm just going to mention briefly, number 8, the 40th anniversary. We are looking forward to celebrating the MPO's 40th anniversary in December. That date is on the 14th. And I hope you would mark your calendars. That's the day of our board meeting. We are going to make the celebration a part of the governing board meeting, and I think it's going to be a fun meeting to attend. So that concludes my report.
Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to mention that, am I on?
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, since we have a good collection of the county here, that the Brightline safety information can be had in both Spanish and Creole. And if you just ask for it, it's more than just Brightline safety. It's rail safety in general. It's got a lot of very good information. So for all of us who have rail going through our municipalities. It's a good tool to have, and I just am so thrilled that they printed it in both Creole and Spanish as well.
Thank you.
And I think Commissioner Abrams and I would like to say now, Nick, that we would prefer a regular cake, not carrot cake, right?
But
There are a lot of kinds of cakes out there, so what does regular mean?
It means not carrot.
Not made out of vegetables.
We're not looking for vegetables.
Chocolate on one side, vanilla on the other.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Mayor Burdick.
Oh, that's funny. Nick, another group to work with, and I just happened to be reading it last night, is the climate change folks are talking about using alternative forms of transportation, and they're marketing it one day a week and reducing the carbon footprint. So that might be another group to look this piece.
Great. Any further comments or questions of Nick on his executive director's report? No, seeing none, thanks so much. We'll now move to our consent agenda. Is there any member that would like to pull any item from our consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Abrams, second by Burdick. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. We'll now move to general public comments. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward and provide public comments on any item?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I invite Carl Woods up for a moment to introduce himself as our Beach Gardens alternate. I wanted just to introduce.
Sure.
Staff.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Harris, sit at the table. Give us your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. You can tell us anything you like about yourself, Carl. We'd love to hear it.
Well, thank you for the table. Good morning. My name is Carl Woods, 4908 Grassley Drive, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 33418. I know some a lot of faces since I've been elected since early last summer. Hal, I've known you for quite a while. I'm excited to be the alternate on the transportation board. The short version of my history is I've been in law enforcement since 1986. I specialize in vehicle homicide. I have an extensive background in traffic. Although I'm not an engineer, I was more the soldier on the ground. So getting a bird's eye view of traffic patterns. Trying to do a couple projects with Florida Department, RF, our DOT, to encompass improving the PGA interchange with their expansion of North Lake and the flyover. That's work in progress now. But that's just the short version about myself. I'm excited to be a council member in Palm Beach Gardens, continue to serve my community. I retired from the Palm Beach Gardens Police Department after a total of approximately 30 years between Gardens and Jupiter, so which all of about 4 years was in traffic. The motor cops for 10, and then everything after that was pretty much vehicle homicide. So thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being here.
Great. Councilmember Woods, we're welcome. We're thrilled to have you as an alternate. We look forward to working with you, and how wonderful that you bring such a great expertise to transportation planning. So. Great. Thank you so much. Is there any other member of the public that would like to address the board on any general public comments? Seeing no one come forward, we'll close that portion. Our presentation on the presidential visit was removed, so we'll move directly to our action items. Our first item is a resolution for sponsorships at MPO-hosted events. Nick.
Madam Chair, this item really comes about because we are going to be hosting, the Palm Beach MPO is going to be hosting the 2018 Regional Safe Street Summit. That's a co-supported event or a joint event with us, Miami-Dade MPO and the Broward MPO. And we realized as we began down this path that we had really not established a policy approved by the board for receiving sponsorships for events hosted by the MPO. So we're asking you to approve this policy. It's a very similar approach to the one the county takes when they're receiving sponsorships for county-hosted events, but it needs to be brought before you as a board, and you need to engage with it and tell us, yeah, this works.
Very good. Comments or questions on this item? Mayor Burdick?
Oh, no, that one's finished.
Mayor Gerwig.
I just have a question. Is there any criteria for a sponsorship? Do we have any particular limitations on it? What did we say? Anything?
There's a standard agreement. So the resolution says that you allow me to execute the standard agreement that's shown in the backup material. The standard agreement does put restrictions on the type of material that can be provided by a sponsor. So it needs to be transportation related, needs to be not profane, not offensive, things like that. But I'm not sure, is that what you're asking? Or are you,
no,
help
I,
me out.
I just know in the past there have been people that have wanted to sponsor that certain boards have said, well, maybe that's too controversial. We wouldn't necessarily want a sponsorship. We don't have any kind of criteria as far as that goes. It's just whatever they're offering is we do have purview of.
Yeah, I guess we haven't been burned by that yet, okay. So we haven't introduced that level of review.
But the county has the oversight on it. They're going to sign off over a certain level.
No, what this proposal, this agreement, the resolution says is that as long as a sponsor wants to utilize the standard agreement and they're contributing to the MPO an amount either in cash or in-kind service of less than $10,000, you're authorizing me to sign this on behalf of the MPO because it's a ministerial function. You've said we like the terms and conditions in the agreement. We don't want to wait for a monthly gathering to be able to sign these documents. We all know what they say. That's what we're asking you to agree to today. Anything over $10,000, it would come before the MPO board. You would understand that there's a particular request being put before you, and you would have to act on that as a group.
Commissioner Materio.
Thank you. At some point, I'm going to assume you're going to give us more information about time, location.
Yeah.
Right? All of those things. Okay.
We are working as part of the regional planning group for this event. We're working to secure the date and the location for that event.
This is exciting.
Yeah, Nick, why don't you give an overview for those that didn't attend the one in Broward, what this entails. It's really exciting that we're hosting it, and we certainly, I really think, can shine in this event.
Sure. I think it's a fantastic event. We are, so last year, I'll just describe last year. It's going to be in either the late January or early February of 2018. Last year, it was in late January, and it was in the city of Sunrise. All three regions participated. Several of our board members actually came down and attended. I know Mayor Burdick was down there. I think Paula Ryan, Commissioner Ryan,
Councilman
came
Weinroth,
down.
Yep, myself. Councilman,
yes, yeah. So several of our board came down. The way the event plays out, we actually do rolling retreat type activities or mobile workshop type activities the afternoon before the day-long event. So we'll have a Thursday afternoon opportunity for mobile workshops, whether it's a walking tour, maybe a trolley tour, or a biking tour to get out and see parts of the city and experience the transportation facilities and environment of the host. And then there's a dinner for elected officials the night before the event that allows you to engage in a smaller group setting with all of the speakers that are going to be participating in the event the following day and sort of discuss on a more intimate level some of the topics. So I hope that all of you will mark that on your calendars once we set the date and try to be in attendance at that point. And then we will have a day-long workshop with a variety of sessions, both main session and then some breakout smaller groups the following day on Friday, with opportunity to hear from a variety of internationally renowned speakers on transportation safety and how to make complete streets a part of our environment in South Florida.
And West Palm will be the host city. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be in downtown West Palm. We hope to be near the Brightline station, near the convention center. We're still working out the exact details on the venue because we want to make sure that it's flexible enough for both the large group that we anticipate. Last year, there were around 300 participants. We're hoping for around 400 this year. So we want to have a large enough venue that accommodates the 400 altogether, but then have the ability to have some smaller breakout sessions as well. So we're working out the venue logistics issues right now.
And the sponsorships would be, you know, sponsoring, you know, the dinner, the cocktail hour, you know, whatever we need for, you know, to really have a really quality event. You know, Broward did a great job, but I, you know, it was a very suburban setting. It was a little disjointed.
Carton was a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, it was a great job.
Yeah, well, they did a fine job.
Broward.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, and it's good to experience it. And then, you know, the vision of having it in downtown West Palm and all the wonderful things that we can highlight about Palm Beach County, I'm real excited about. So. Okay. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Commissioner James.
I did, however, want to go back to what Mayor Gerwig spoke to, and it's So it looks like the substance of the event that's being sponsored, as long as it's under $10,000, is solely at the discretion of the executive director. So nobody else is even going to speak to whether this event is an appropriate one to be sponsored. Is that the way I understand this? Even though it complies with the standard agreement, which is fine, it's under $10,000. What if it's a topic that is controversial, and we as the board or you as the chair don't even get to address that as I read this, as I understand it?
Are you suggesting that the event itself may be controversial or that the nature of the sponsor?
No, the event itself. I mean, it just may be in an area, and I can't think of anything at the time.
Sure.
I'm just trying to understand process.
So I guess my suggestion is that we wouldn't want to sponsor any event that this board didn't endorse.
But we don't get to speak to it, right?
The agreement talks about how someone would sponsor an event, but if you would like to have me bring any events...
I know that would defeat the purpose.
Being the host of...
Or if we can establish... I don't know, but it just seems like... If there's something potentially controversial, it falls within everything, it's within the standard agreement, it's under $10,000, that you were kind of making that decision unilaterally as opposed to the board addressing it.
I certainly don't want to be the individual making the decision on which events the MPO chooses to be a sponsor of or to be a host for.
Okay. I don't know how we get around that.
Well, I think as we get closer to the event, perhaps we can entertain a resolution being the host MPO for the safe and the elements of the multi-day event would be in that resolution. And then this resolution is just about sponsorships, which should be up to staff.
So it seems like your question is regarding the first whereas clause in the resolution. You want to make sure that you as a group, as a board, have endorsed any specific special event to be hosted by the MPO. And I think that's a very good question. And I guess maybe you could just direct me not to host anything without getting your endorsement first. I mean, I think this discussion serves that purpose.
But if
you want to take a formal action, including that, and saying don't run off and host things we haven't understood.
That we as a board haven't signed up.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a good idea because just for the sake of it being a heads up to the board that we're hosting, even if it's a non-controversial, we should have that information. So either way.
Okay. Very good comment. See, now that you're the president of the Palm Beach County League of Cities, have just risen to such great governance.
Thank you. What do I say to that?
No, actually, kidding aside, that's a great idea. So, all right, further discussion on the resolution for sponsorships. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we adopt that sponsorship policy.
Is there a second?
Yes, amended.
Okay. As amended?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a motion by Mayor Gerwig and a second by Commissioner Materio. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
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 A point of clarification. As amended, it would be helpful if I understood exactly what was being amended.
Oh, we just voted
so that our staff can write the resolution appropriately.
Well, that it would have in that one whereas clause that it would say that these sponsorships would only apply to previously approved events that were, endorsed by the board.
Okay.
Understood. I mean, that's how I understood.
Yeah.
Is that
exactly
we're consensus?
That is
okay.
My amendment.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Everybody good on that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. We'll now move. One more.
One more point of clarification. Because we are intending to operate as the host of the Safe Street Summit, my question is: would you like me to bring that to you at a future agenda so that you can endorse that, or have I given you enough of an explanation now that you would be willing to endorse that hosting activity for us?
As
I move to endorse.
I second.
All right, so we have a motion by Mr. Weinroth and a second by Commissioner James to endorse hosting the regional Safe Street Summits in late January, early February. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? There you go. Okay, great. I will now move to MPO Governance Committee. Nick.
Madam Chair, the background in your, or the, really the item description in your agenda tells the story. We have an executed interlocal agreement with the county, whereby the county agrees to provide staff and services to the MPO. That agreement was approved by the MPO governing board in January of 2013. That agreement had a 5-year term, ending, proposing to be the first term concluding at the end of the county's fiscal year, which is September 30th, the 5-year window concluding at September 30th of 2018. If the MPO wants to renew that agreement for an additional 5 years, they have to let the county know by formal action no later than September 30th of 2017. I'm suggesting, because several of the members are on the board were not a part of that process by which the first agreement was established, that it's worth creating a committee to review the contents of that agreement to understand whether we should continue with it as it is, whether we should seek revisions to it, or whether the MPO board would like to terminate that. Now, keep in mind, the termination conversation is one that we've talked about in sort of sidebars up to this point. The county is the host entity. Terminating the agreement would mean we would either need to find another host, or we would need to operate as an independent entity. So part of the discussion would be for this committee to kind of get into the weeds and say, does that make sense? Do we want to separate from the county as a host so that we are an independent MPO, or do we want to just keep the relationship we have, or maybe tweak it a little bit? So that's what I'm asking for. It's a difficult conversation, because as I sort of intended to endeavor to show you by providing the agreement, it's a long document. It's a difficult conversation to have with a full board of 21, but it's an important discussion for you to have and understand and own going forward. So I'm suggesting a subcommittee to focus attention on that would be worth creating. And we would have a couple of meetings, one prior to the July MPO board meeting, to really review it and provide some initial feedback and seek some direction from the full board, and then a second meeting in August so that you can make a recommendation to the full board as to whether we should renew or pursue modifications, or let them know that we're not going to renew. So that's my overview of this item. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Thank you very much, Mayor Pinto.
Yeah, I guess I just want to make sure I understand the basic theme of what you're saying is there's actually a timeline that really needs to be established here. Make a determination if, in fact, the separation path is the way to go, or continue with some modification. But in essence, this is really creating, there wasn't a timeline before, this will create a timeline. And secondly, you're looking for this committee to come back with a significant recommendation for the board to act on or consider.
Just one clarification to your first point. There was a timeline. This agreement always had a timeline in it.
Well, I know the agreement had a timeline.
When we had previous discussions about whether or not to be independent, they had begun early enough that I didn't foresee this timeline becoming a critical point in the schedule. Now I'm foreseeing that it is a critical point in the schedule. We have a limited number of MPO governing board meetings between now and the September 30th deadline to either renew or notify them that we elect not to. So I really need your direction.
It's only logical. It's a logical path to take. In reality, what you're saying.
Okay.
Commissioner Chard.
Yeah, two questions. One is, what is your general level of self-documentation by your agreement? And two, what's your alternative? What is possible alternative?
So
you put them on the calendar.
I think, my general answer is similar to Commissioner Abrams, that I'm hoping that the committee will dive deeper into those questions and allow us to kind of get into the weeds as to whether or not this administrative relationship is useful to the MPO and whether it warrants change. As brief background, I'll just say the people who negotiated the document are not the people who are implementing it, and that's always tricky. So, you know, the previous director was the one who was intimate with the content of that document, and it was executed the meeting prior to his retirement meeting at the MPO. And the county assistant county administrator, who was the liaison at that time, has also since retired. So it just warrants, I think, another look to verify that it's the way it ought to be for this board to operate at its maximum potential.
Commissioner Abrams.
Nick, question. I assume this year advance notice is just sort of a convenience, an arbitrary date. So, presumably if can't tie all the loose ends together, because if this board decides to go, for example, the independent route, I mean, we better have some assurance there's going to be some space to move into somewhere in this town, et cetera, that do we know if there's, I assume there's flexibility, can we confirm that there's some flexibility, you know, but yes, we would seek to give them that advance notice so we could sort of go month to month, I guess, if we didn't.
Well,
it has to be a transition thing. That would
Nick, maybe you can opine.
So, as one of the parties who are represented in the agreement, I can say that the agreement has specified terms for notice and termination. As you sit on both boards that are represented in the agreement,
here comes our attorney to clarify
that your side of the host would be flexible enough.
Yes, Donna. Thank you.
But in section 7.5B of the agreement, there's a provision that says if you all decide you want to employ some or all of your own staff, then you notify the county, and then the county can come back and say, okay, we need to modify the agreement to just be a season. Or the county could come back and say, you know what, we just want to terminate the agreement. But that section gives a lot of flexibility, and it does say the termination period and notice requirements may be waived or modified by the party. And it requires the agreement of the party, but this was intended to give flexibility.
Okay. All right. Any further questions?
I just have one.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a queue in front of you. Here.
Actually,
Mayor Marino?
They're short and short. We also have to include what the financial impact would be if we go out on our own. Mm-hmm. So that would be a discussion for the committee.
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest dumb things.
Yes.
Commissioner Materio.
Nick, at one point we talked about having a presentation by the Broward MPO and I think Orange County. Is it Orange County?
Metro Plan Orlando.
Right.
It's Orange, Osceola, and Seminole counties, all three.
I'm hoping that can still happen sooner than later now, because even if you only get one of those entities, so that this board can hear a bigger conversation and we have an opportunity to ask those questions. And I don't know how you're going to choose the committee, but I'd really like to be on it.
Okay. Mayor Gerwig.
My question was how is the committee going to be selected? Would alternates be considered self-selection? Well, I want to say something. I was able to attend the MPOAC Institute, and it really enlightened me enough to know that this is way bigger than I had anticipated as far as all the things that can happen. Although talking to members who were on independent ones, they had good things to say about it. So I think it is something for the committee, but how is the committee going to be formed?
Okay. Would you like to respond to that?
Well, Madam Chair, it's really my hope that you will self-select this morning 7 of your members.
Okay. Would alternates to this committee be considered for people on this particular subcommittee? Is it subcommittee? Is that the right
It's board? At the pleasure of this board.
You are in charge of creating the rules.
Commissioner, Councilmember Weinroth.
Thank you, Mayor. We've gone down this road before. Mayor Marino, before you got on board, we were talking about the subject. And the real issue that stopped this was financing the operation. And I think before we even have a subcommittee, we need to go back and decide whether the cities and towns are going to be willing to put the bill. I mean, that was the real issue that was on the table. If we're not willing to put the money in that's going to basically finance the operation, the rest of this is moot. So I think that we need to go back and poll our municipalities and see. I mean, we have an exhibit that the executive director has prepared that would say what the allocation would be on a municipal level to prime the pump, to put the money in the bank so that this place can run while they're waiting for the money to come from the feds. If that money is not going to be put into the pot, then there's no reason to have this conversation.
Nick would like to respond.
Madam Chair, just briefly on that point. The previous discussions where a contribution from each of the members one time and annually was suggested is only one way to manage the financial implications of becoming an independent MPO. I think one of the items for the committee to dive into is whether that is the way to recommend to the board. I happen to be a proponent of that way because I think everyone putting skin in the game, if we were to become an independent agency, is an appropriate way forward. But without debating the merits of that one versus seeking a line of credit from one of our members or trying to just modify the relationship between the county with the host where they continue to provide some level of financing on a reimbursement basis to the MPO, there are other options, I guess is what I'm saying. There's not only one way to finance. So if that is a very offensive component of the discussion, there are other ways to solve that challenge.
Well, I think we need to then address that ahead of the governance issues.
No, I think that's definitely one of the issues. Commissioner James, did you want to comment?
Well, I was going to, Nick anticipated my response, but I do think Nick is right that can kind of be drilled down at the committee level when certainly coming back to this board for any final approval. But, you know, there are a number of ways to skin that financing cat. Mm-hmm. And I think that this committee would be the one that really got into the weeds as to the pros and cons of each of those and coming out with a specific recommendation. So I don't think it's anything we have to do. It's a conditioned precedent to moving ahead. I think that would be part of the body of work of the committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mayor Pinto?
Yeah, I'm going to make the same comments. I think that would be part of that kind of drill down should be part of what the committee work is about. And certainly, as you said, there's many ways that the funding can be, it needs to be done in a more drilled down, more broader perspective. So I can't see how you could put that cart before the horse, so to speak. I think it would be part of the committee's work. And I too would like to serve with this committee.
Okay. Commissioner Brinkman.
I guess I was thinking back, I know a year seems like a long time, but it's not really. Maybe part of the committee could consider as well tweaking the terms of the agreement to allow for some flexibility in the future that may not lock us in that way. So that's kind of back to the way the attorney was talking. So maybe we can write something in there if we're not done by a certain time. There's some kind of clause in there that we can have some additional flexibility. But I also
okay. Mayor Burdick.
Right. Well, let's talk about the makeup of it because I would certainly like to serve on the committee also.
Okay. Well, I think it's important so that we have a balance between county commissioners and city elected officials as well. I agree with that completely. So you would like to be on it, Commissioner Abrams? Are you up to the challenge?
No, that's fine. I think we ought to have. I think some of we had some of the municipalities who had some concerns on the record last time. So to me, we should have one of those representatives on the committee as well.
Well,
consensus unless we bring
sure.
that along.
I agree, Mayor Triola.
I agree with Councilmember Weinroth too. That you know, we never saw the financial options that were available. It was very one direction, and I mean, I would have preferred to have seen that. I didn't think we had to get to that level next of the committee. But if there is a committee, I would love to sit on it.
Okay.
I don't. No. I don't.
That'll be short list.
Mayor Marino.
You can throw me in there, too, but I want to make sure we have enough representation from the smaller cities also.
Yeah, and that was a good point. We had, who were the cities that had the biggest objections? Was Palm Springs, Royal Palm Beach. What were the cities that had the biggest financial objection to the? It was Palm Springs and Royal Palm. Okay. So do our representatives, are you willing to serve? Yeah. Mayor Grant?
I'd like to throw my hat into the ring.
I speak to about the MPO with either Lake Park Shores, Ocean Ridge, Lantana, High Biloxi, Village of Golf, my surrounding cities, smaller cities, because we are the largest city with one representation, and so that is what I'd like to reach out to the other municipalities around Boynton Beach to get their input as well and to bring that to the government.
Thank you very much. All right, further comments or discussions? All right, here we go. So we
clickers or fools?
Yeah, the clickers. Yeah, let's all vote for each other. So we have two. Commissioner McKinley, are you interested in being involved in this? Or we've heard from Commissioner Bird, Mayor Burdick, and Commissioner Abrams.
Commissioner Abrams will be after 21 years in the community that we've been involved in.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Voluntold, I like that. That sounds like something. Okay. Members, what's your pleasure? Whatever. I'll be happy to be involved, but I think we've got lots. I think you should be the chairman.
Oh, we go. All right.
All right. Well, there we go. There's a voluntold. Okay. So Commissioner Abrams can be. Is anyone object to him being the chair of this committee?
Anyone brave enough to say that?
All right. So there we go. We have Commissioner Abrams. I think there's enough other. I mean, I'll be happy to be there. But I think other members should take the lead in being. Okay, so that's good. So we have a chairman. That's one member. So we need six others. And Mayor Burdick has volunteered.
What's behind you?
This list is already.
Real time.
Oh, wow. The real time, should we vote?
But, well, is there, hold on, is there a limit to seven? Is there a reason that seven was originally?
It's nine.
No, it is nine. Yeah, okay, I thought we were going for seven, but we.
Okay. Seven is probably.
I'm just. I was. It was a question.
Sorry.
I mean, that was a fine committee. Be able to make every meeting, so that's not bad.
Is everyone have consensus on what's on the screen right there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion that be.
I had one question. I know that Councilman Hamara. I think he's an alternate to this, but he was involved in this conversation quite a bit with the league, bringing it back and forth. I don't know if it's appropriate to have more than one person from one city.
No, I think there's a sunshine issue then.
Okay, never mind.
Well, there's a whole sunshine issue.
Yeah, well, no, I understand that, but I think going down to alternates is going to, there's enough full board members that want to be involved. So, yeah. Councilmember Kretzky.
Just quickly, I didn't want to speak till now because I didn't want to get volunteered.
Voluntold.
But and I appreciate those that are willing to do that. From a practical matter, I mean, this is May, and we're going to have to renew in September. We're going to have to renew in September. I mean, because think about it, and that's why no alternate can serve. That's why up the number, because somehow this group's going to have to come back and share information. And so, and then we have to go back in cities to our commissions and whatever, so it just isn't even practical to think. I just want to paint that picture that we're going to be extending it with flexibility if, in fact, this.
Good point. Donna.
One other thing that we, the MPO, could consider is seeking an amendment to the existing agreement to extend the term another 6 months or whatever we want to do.
That's a great idea. Okay, that's great. Commissioner James.
Before we vote, can we just kind of get a description? Do we have big cities, small cities, county, et cetera? Do we have enough of that diversity there?
Yeah, it certainly looks like a great geographical balance as well as small. Oh, it went away. Where'd it go? Bring it back. Don't change it. Bring it back.
Just moving Steve up.
Small cities don't have the table.
You get your seats.
Right.
You're in, people on here have to represent small
Donny's
cities.
Donny's on the table. He's Palm Springs,
relatively speaking.
And the Western communities
have. Well, we have no blade here. If they want.
Do we have Western community?
Yes.
Motion to
appoint.
Well,
Commissioner.
Commissioner McKinley.
Yeah, Commissioner McKinley is representing the Western.
You're doing both roles.
Okay.
Mayor Wilson, I got you.
Right.
All right. So we have a motion by Mr. Weinroth to appoint these members. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner James. Is there any further discussion? Commissioner Materio.
Thank you. I just have one question or one actually job for Nick. Could you, between now and the first meeting, give us an overall what our goals are, just a written rule of goals. Yeah, action items. And then in addition to that, could you please make us available or the chair, someone from Broward available to us so that we can look at all of the different reasons why they chose to go in that direction so we have something to compare it to?
Definitely on the first one. On the second one, I just want to clarify, make the chair of the Broward MPO available as a presenter at the committee meeting, or just give you contact information to reach out to him?
Just give us contact somehow so that we can, in a meeting, that we're able to have that a presentation by someone from Broward.
Presentation at the committee.
Yeah.
Probably the executive director. Well, I'm going to have the chair, too.
Whoever it is, yes.
The chair is Dick Blattner, a commissioner from Hollywood, and the executive director is Greg Stewart.
Going to be really helpful to have that.
Okay.
And a list of deliverables that you're seeing us.
Okay. That's great. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Great. Thanks so much. Our next item is the MPO Strategic Plan Committee. Here's another opportunity to volunteer. Nick.
Madam Chair, last year, well, let me back up even one step further. When I was hired, I was told to create a process to evaluate the performance of the executive director. Prior to my coming on board with you, there wasn't an evaluation process. So I created one. I actually pulled all of the MPOs in Florida, got a very wide array of processes, and picked the middle and put it forward for your consideration and said, why don't we have all of the MPO board members complete a 10-question survey evaluating my performance on a score of 1 to 5 and then providing written feedback so that a subgroup, an evaluation committee, could review that with me, help us make the agency more responsive and more effective in whatever it's trying to accomplish. That worked for 3 years, and in the second year, people said, boy, this is awfully subjective. In the third year, the committee said, we don't ever want to do this again. Why don't we do management by objective, make it more objectively driven and less subjectively driven, create a strategic plan, tell us what you're going to accomplish, and then we'll get together to review the performance of the agency against that strategic plan document instead of asking you to rank me on my communication skills and leadership skills and have I persuaded people to do things that we all want them to do. So that's where we are. This strategic plan committee is intended to look at the objectives in the strategic plan. We will provide the committee with a report card that tells you how we've done against those objectives, give you an opportunity to say, good job, bad job, work harder, change this, change that. And then you will, the committee members will make a recommendation to the full MPO board as to where we should go as an organization over the next year. So updates to that strategic plan that tell me what our staff and consultant budget should focus its attention on. That seems to be a reasonably useful path forward for you to have buy-in and directing the actions and dollars associated with the MPO's planning budget and make sure that we're doing the things that matter most to you as members of the governing board. So that's where we are. This is really, it's a long answer to the short question. It's a surrogate for performing an annual evaluation of me. It's an evaluation of the agency, making sure that we're moving in the right direction or changing the direction to ensure that it's where you want us to go.
Thank you, Nick. Comments or questions? Yeah, who was on the evaluation? I know Shannon and myself and
Mayor
Wilson and Commissioner Berger.
And Commissioner Abrams actually served last year.
He did?
He did.
Well, so who would like to volunteer for this committee that didn't get on the last committee? Commissioner Waldron. Okay, perfect. Who else would like to serve on this?
Right here.
Oh, Mr. Weinroth. Okay, Mr. Chard, you're an alternate. I don't know that we can put alternates on there, but
all right, I'll serve.
You'll serve. Oh, okay, James. All right. So who else? How many more do we need? So we've got James, Waldron, Weinroth. Who else? Who else didn't get in on the action for the last one?
I think the mayor right here needs to.
Mayor Gerwig. Okay. Does that give us five?
That's four.
How about Commissioner Berger? She was on the last one.
That's what you guys are not doing.
Let's put Commissioner Berger. Yeah, I think it's important that we have county representation on that board. Okay.
Great.
All right, so we have a board. Are they up there? Okay. Is that a good
system? There you go.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion to appoint that committee.
So moved. Second.
Okay, motion by Wilson and a second by Abrams. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. I'll participate, but I don't need to be an actual member. It's better if I'm not. Okay. Very good. Thank you all so much for stepping up. I will now move to information items, and this is where we get to vote with our little clickers. MPO branding preferences. Nick.
Madam Chair, this is where the fun starts. If you haven't enjoyed the MPO meeting thus far. It's my pleasure to introduce Jacques Hart to you. Jacques is going to come up. He's from Roar Media. Roar is doing our Jacques, you can do it from that. Yeah, from there. That'll work really well. Roar is conducting our rebranding exercise. So one of the items in our strategic plan, Objective 2A, was to come up with a new brand for the MPO and then implement that brand. And Jacques is going to walk us through what constitutes a brand, and this is going to be a good opportunity for you to both get an education on branding, because he's a very competent educator in this particular topic, and to express some preferences that will guide his creation of alternatives for your consideration at a future meeting. So you're not voting on a brand today, but you're giving feedback to the content of the brand that he's going to be helping us develop.
Excellent. Welcome, Jacques.
Pleasure to be here. I'm not sure that I need a microphone, and I actually
you need to record it.
Yes.
It is being recorded. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Well, this is very unconventional. I rarely
sit. I usually roam. It's a pleasure to be here. One point of clarification on what Nick said is that we collectively are going to be building a brand. And in part, we're doing that with the marketing committee of the Palm Beach MPO. And this is the beginning of that process. And before I begin, a quick introduction. My name is Jacques. I'm the CEO of Roar Media. We're a communications firm focused on creating public and private engagement with audiences across the public and private sector. So, pleasure to be here. I'll jump right in. Goldfish have a memory and attention span of 9 seconds. Human beings have an attention span of 8 seconds. This is in large part due to our fancy smartphones that we carry around in our pockets. And Google has done a tremendous amount of research in this area, and they're considering this and coining the term micro moments. So we, throughout the day, have thousands of little micro moments where we are engaged with our smartphones or engaged with advertising in the public. And for good or bad, we don't necessarily have the attention span of a goldfish. And so how do we as marketers or branding agents overcome that dilemma? How do we create memory? How do we create engagement with our brand and our mission and our messaging? One way of doing that is through your brand identity. And so as we rethink the Palm Beach brand identity and really try to incite more public engagement, really incite more public input and feedback in our process, we want to re-envision what our brand identity looks like. So with that said, we're going to jump right into some thought-provoking exercises and look forward to receiving some of your feedback and input. So the impact of branding, I wanted to put us in a mindset in which we can kind of envision where we would go with this brand. But before I do, here are a couple quotes from key thought leaders in this space, and I'll just read and paraphrase a couple different points here. But brands are psychology and science brought together as a promise mark as opposed to a trademark. Products have life cycles. Brands outlive products. Brands convey a uniform quality, credibility, and experience. Brands are valuable. Many companies put the value of their brand on their balance sheet. So your brand identity, the asset of the Palm Beach MPO as a brand is critical, is important. A great brand is a story that's never completely told. A brand is a metaphorical story that connects with something very deep, a fundamental appreciation of mythology. Stories create the emotional context people need to locate themselves in a larger experience. We have that opportunity to create this experience. We have that opportunity to really engage the public and incite them to give their feedback and input to our processes. Branding adds spirit and a soul to what would otherwise be a robotic, automated, generic price value proposition. If branding is ultimately about the creation of human meaning, it follows logically that us humans should create this brand. So here we are today, creating brand. So what are the different elements? What are the different components that would go into your future brand identity? Clearly, the name. And so, in conversations with the Palm Beach MPO, we have an opportunity to actually rethink the name as well. And I'm sure you could argue that, unless you're actively involved in this agency, the word MPO is not readily known to the public. So there's some considerations with respect to that. So what makes a great name? Well, number one, it's memorable. It's easy to remember. You can recall it. The retention is there. It's emotive. It incites a certain type of emotive reaction or response. It's suggestive. It has an inherent meaning to it. It's descriptive. It tells the story. But the certain words in the name might actually describe what the product or service does. It's meaningful. It goes beyond just being descriptive, but it has an inherent meaning to it. And it's an aspirational. It really incites action, or it inspires you to, go to a higher plane, if you will. So brand is name. Brand is also color. Color has a lot of subjective meaning to it. And if you look at some of our world's top brands, they are quite colorful in today's day and age. Microsoft, Google, Burger King, NBC, eBay, Bank of America. Trust me when I say these brands have spent millions of dollars analyzing and evaluating this. Look at Google, for that matter. Very similar colors. That's a good point. A lot of these colors are very actionable colors. They're future forward colors. They're progressive colors, that sort of thing. But, Google is now perceived as the world's most recognized brand with the highest brand equity value. But a very colorful, almost rainbow-esque type logo. Brand is
iconography.
My nerves, my friends. So look at the icons as it relates to these brands. But these are obviously memorable brands, well-known brands, household names. Having said that, you don't even need the name of the brand to identify what that brand is, what it stands for, what it means, that sort of thing. Very powerful in itself that you can strip away the name of the company and just identify the inherent meaning and value of that company just by its mark. Brand is typography. So in these, you see a different assortment of typography, typeface, fonts, if you will. Some are creative, some are more stately and conservative. And some of them have very deep meaning in it. I don't know if, can anyone share with us some of the symbolism in FedEx?
Oh yeah, the arrow. Yeah.
The arrow. Moving forward.
The E and the X.
Right. Moving forward. The E and the Dell, anyone have an idea of what that symbolizes? Michael Dell said that when he came to market and started producing and manufacturing and distributing his computers, he wanted to turn the world on its ear. So he turned the E in Dell, slanted that for that symbolism.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Just, I know this is maybe off point, but Coke's logo was probably created 100-plus years ago. Is it still as effective as something that, when you've crunched all the numbers and done all the things that you do to come up with these things, and I don't know how much they spent on that initially, but How do you find that compares to something that's a product of the last 10 years?
Say? Believe it or not, and you're right in saying that, you know, that brand and that mark has been around for eons. It has evolved and it has changed, and most of these brands do make certain nips and tucks to their brand identity over the course of time. You know, Coca-Cola hasn't deviated far from its initial onset. But, you know, its brand identity, I think, goes beyond just its mark, if you will, just its logo. Its real equity is in its value to, you know, provide product and service to its consumers, and to live by that promise. And so as much as I'd like to tell the group here today that we're going to solve all your problems by identifying and developing a new logo, that's not going to be the case. Obviously, we're going to put our best foot forward and identify a mark that is going to be appealing and engaging and have deep symbolism and meaning to it, but we're going to have to live by that brand promise. If, in fact, one of the missions is, you know, to engage the public at a higher level, then we're going to have to develop programs to give them that opportunity to do that. So, you know, Coca-Cola, over the course of its time, has been an innovator in beverages, in distribution, in sales, and that sort of thing. So when you see their logo, you're not just seeing, you know, a squiggly red line all put together spelling out Coca-Cola. You are interpreting all of the value that comes with that, all of those experiences that you had, you know, consuming that product. So I'm not sure if I've answered your question. They have tremendous brand equity still. But there's definitely a shift in consumer preferences out there. I just pressed forward.
Madam Chair, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
And this has really been troubling me since the beginning of your presentation. How exactly does one measure the attention span of a goldfish?
You would have to ask Bill Gates and his fellow bedfellows. But it was a Microsoft study, and, you know, they applied certain scientific measures.
They made that up.
They held fish food.
They made that up. Thank you for that insight.
Be happy to send you the study.
Yeah, please.
Brand is subjective. You know, it's often in the eye of the beholder. And having said that, you know, I'll take you through a couple different examples here, and I appreciate the conversation that we're having. Anyone on Amazon, anyone recognize some of the inherent values here?
From A to Z.
A to Z. A to Z with what?
A smile.
A smile. Very simple, right? I mean, if you look at the watermark, or the actual brand mark, the typography, simple, the icon, a little smile from A to Z, very simple. This is called flat design. What about BMW? Anyone know the history here?
Rondell steering
wheel. No, the airplanes.
Correct. So they manufactured German airplanes in World War II, and the blue represents sky, and the gray inside the round watermark, or the brand mark, represents the propeller. So it was an aircraft manufacturer. Baskin-Robbins. Anyone see this one very clearly?
31 flavors.
31 flavors. Not everyone gets that the first time around. It's very subliminal, but, you know, very...
We're old.
What does that say about
it? Adidas, you know, I think this harkens the idea of, you know, climbing a mountain, reaching your goal, getting to a higher peak, a higher level. Audi was the formation of four separate companies coming together to unify their manufacturing and distribution. They also liked the connotation that it had with the Olympics, achieving more. Yeah. IBM, any thoughts on IBM?
Computer paper.
And it has all that kind of inherent value to it, but it's also a series of equal signs, and so that was obviously one of their first, you know, products coming to market, was the balance sheet and, you know, effective accounting systems and that sort of thing. Big Blue. So let's build a brand together. I think that we're very interested in, you know, getting your insights and your input. And what we've done is put together a series of different slides in which we can talk about things like names and colors and iconography and that sort of thing. You know, before I move forward, we do have these clickers, and we're going to do a quick trial run. And so I want to just... level the playing field here in terms of how to use these. I'm not sure if you've used them recently or in the past, but what we would like you to do is rank your top three choices in order of preference. As it turns out, your last three clicks will be the only responses recorded. I sound like a reporter myself. If you'd like to change your responses, or if you accidentally selected the wrong item, simply just re-enter your last three choices, or just re-enter it again. It will be your last three choices that get recorded, and that'll actually override your previous responses. And then once we advance to the next slide, there will be no turning back. So here we go for some trial responses. This is the trial, if you will. But let's get us in the right mindset here. So when you think of Snapchat, what comes to mind? Is it A, young, B, fleeting, C, confusing, D, nonsensical, or what the hell is Snapchat? You guys move fast. Can I go back? I'm sorry, I was moving too fast. Okay, so you can now enter your three responses.
Three?
Yeah, so what we're doing, folks, is we're ranking your first top three preferred choices in order of preference, right? So your first entrance would be your highest preferred.
You'll see it on the little window. You'll see your letter and number come up. So that's how you know it.
Alexa, are we getting good responses here? Time to move forward. Wonderful. I'm on it. Here goes, folks. Great. Interesting interpretation. Yes, it is predominantly leveraged by young adults and the millennial audiences. However, they may be a Snapchat coming to your smartphone soon, as these social media platforms tend to evolve and penetrate new audiences every day.
I want to interject briefly. The way the voting works, your first choice is scored the highest. Your second choice gets middle points, and your third choice gets just 1 point. So it's 5 points for your first choice, 3 for your second choice, 1 point for your third choice. And then what we show on the screen is the percentage of overall points that each of the options received. So if more of you vote for the same thing for your first choice, then it will have the highest points overall, and it'll have the highest percentage. I just wanted to help you understand that your priorities do matter. So, all right.
It's a weighted average. Let's have fun with it. Moving forward into real time. So one of the exercises that we did is we benchmarked a number of other MPOs throughout the country. And what you'll see is that from a naming convention standpoint, there's a lot of diversity out there. And here are four common naming conventions, while there are others as well. These kind of fit into those, you know, four common buckets, if you will. And so probably the most common one is the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So A for El Paso, Metropolitan Planning Organization. B, the New York Metropolitan Transportation Council. So a derivation of, you know, the MPO, but becoming an MTC, if you will. Three is in an acronym, the Greater Buffalo Niagara Regional Transportation Council. Say that three times really fast. But it's an acronym, putting all these words together. And then four is Ford Pinellas. So, you know, what Ford Pinellas did is quite innovative, very forward-thinking. They deviated from the traditional approach in calling their agency a metropolitan organization or metropolitan planning organization. And they actually infused the word Ford, which brings with it all sorts of, you know, positive connotation. Obviously, you know, there's all kinds of inherent connotation with that. But again, it's an out-of-the-box approach that I think adds certain value to their brand, simplifies the approach. And then with that, you could also have some descriptors that would, you know, put things into more context for the recipient. So That being the case, we can start the voting.
So are you, could I just,
for the name,
for the name the not the logo, or
we're just looking at naming conventions at this point, that's right. And in general, you know, you're looking at, in general, you're looking at four different approaches, right? So it's the Metropolitan Planning Organization, so an MPO, stay with where we're at. The second choice is, you know, can we advance that, incorporate the word transportation in there, and become a Metropolitan Transportation Council? The third one would be an acronym approach. And the fourth one would be some type of out-of-the-box, more creative, more innovative approach that would have more rich context and symbolism behind it. And so of these different approaches, what would be your top three preferred choices?
Now?
We feeling good? Great.
Yeah,
I think would we like to take a moment to discuss these results and conversation and dialogue?
I didn't finish the third one.
Right, we went to the next slide before we could vote.
Let's do a revote.
Recount.
Recount.
I'll be counting.
Steve's on the campus. Every
chance.
Okay.
Right.
Steve,
you're overseeing this.
Okay. How are we looking now?
Yeah.
Right. Are we in?
No.
Great. Okay, let's take a good look at the results now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So there seems to be a great deal of interest in option B, the Metropolitan Transportation Council. I think another quick finding here, obviously, is that our current name doesn't rank as high as, you know, the other contenders. And there's a great deal of interest in pursuing this idea of, you know, how could we re-envision our name such that it had some type of powerful connotation or descriptor there, something a little more out of the box, a little more innovative, a little more inviting. And
but
so,
we're
not copying.
Well, that's not the intent, right? The intent is not to copy anybody, and the idea wouldn't be that we would be Ford Palm Beach, but the idea would be correct.
You know, I also think that the Ford is the only one that has color to it. I think humans, we just sort of gravitate to have a color, so I'm not really sure. I know, I understand. Yeah. But if you show somebody something in black and white and you show somebody something in color, oftentimes they gravitate towards that. You know, just I think that tells us. Well, you know, this is I do color for a living. So I just think sometimes, you know, maybe what we're saying here too is that we like the acronym and name and we also like color to it. So
I think I agree. The New York one, the only reason I vote for that is I like MTC,
right.
But I don't like the logo itself is not attractive. Whereas the forward one is attractive, you're right, from the color. So it's a combination of both.
Based on previous conversations we've had, we've always felt that transportation was kind of missing from the name. And I think that you're right, too, that we like the idea of something creative.
Right.
And creative and different, but transportation sort of has always been the one missing piece from it, so we would kind of go to something creative.
Well, should we be going to mobility instead of moving? But mobility, what about mobility? Or is that
mobility kind of implies that we need help with mobility. When I think of mobility,
we
I
do.
Like, we might. So do we want
assisted living facilities?
That's
Commissioner Berger's district.
You know, mobility also outside of this room is a really popular phrase in the technology world right now, just because it's, you know, mobility of information, access to information via our smartphones and that sort of thing.
Okay,
all right,
let's go.
Super. Next. Advancing forward. Great. Let's talk about colors. So there's a number of different selections here. Each color obviously has its own connotation and representation behind it. There's a great deal of symbolism with color. And so just running through the list here, we're going to quickly, you know, go through into voting. But red really incites passion. It's an exciting, youthful, bold color. Orange connotates, you know, it's a friendly, inviting, welcoming color, but also exudes confidence. Yellow is considered to be evoking clarity and warmth. Blue invokes trust and dependability and strength. If you look at, you know, some of the brands in there, HP, that sort of thing, a number of different financial services companies use blue because of its trust factor, if you will. Green connotates growth, harmony, health, peacefulness. Ironically, you see BP using green for probably very smart marketing and branding reasons. Purple. So purple evokes creativeness, imagination, wisdom. And then gray is a color that exudes balance and neutrality and calming factors. So having said that, you know, again, we have an opportunity to mix and match these colors and, you know, choose our colors moving forward. I thought the point was really valid with respect to looking at names. You know, you kind of muddy the waters the moment you put, you know, different brand identities on there. So lesson learned. But having said that, you know, we have the opportunity to choose our naming conventions and our colors. And so I'll turn it over to you folks for feedback. And I'm not moving forward until everybody says that I can move forward.
Yep. All ready? Move forward.
Top three. We're in.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay.
So folk
yielding. Busy with her Snapchat.
Feeling good?
Everybody pass their votes?
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Interesting combination. So thinking of blue, right? We're trustful. The public can depend on us. We're going to get them from point A to B. We're a strong organization. Green is we're promoting growth and health and vitality. The combination of those actually work well from a color palette if executed correctly. If not executed correctly, those two colors can kind of... They can kind of conflict with each other. They sometimes run into each other.
Yeah.
They bleed into each other. But there's certainly possibilities of leveraging both of them. Passion really came out in red. That this is, you know, what the work that you're doing is exciting. It's impactful, making a difference. I think red really captures that. But I think red would be a very bold choice, if you will. Super. Any further thoughts, commentary?
So are we talking about doing a combination of colors, like blue and green and different tones of, like lime green and blue, or is that what we're talking about, with maybe a touch of red or red-orange or something like that? Yeah.
I think the possibilities are limitless.
Okay.
You know, I think that there are great opportunities to integrate the feedback that's provided here today and to focus our design efforts in incorporating that input. You know, and it could be that it's just a little splash of red, or it could be that red doesn't make the final, you know, cut. But, you know, what we're directionally, we're seeing some really good, you know, consensus from the group here.
We didn't have pink in there.
Fair enough. Cool. Moving to the next slide here. So logo examples. We created a bit of a matrix here, and if you look at this XY chart, you've got in the top far left hand corner a brand that would represent an authoritative spirit. On the right side, a very modern, very fashion forward, very progressive looking logo. On the bottom left quadrant, with Harley-Davidson, a classic approach. It's very ornate, very complex, lots of, you know, design elements in that. And then the bottom far right, we've got friendly. So it's a, you know, a very inviting, warm, friendly, almost quirky logo in a sense. And so we have a choice then to focus our design efforts and our direction in any of these different quadrants. But that being the case, let's turn it over to you folks for feedback. Any questions before we begin the voting? Cool. Take us away.
Once the screen goes up, you can vote, correct?
No, you can vote now.
Yeah. No, once you change to the new screen.
Okay, yeah.
Got it.
Perfect. So you're way ahead of us.
Can we vote? Wait a minute. One more. Hold on. Sorry, okay.
Everyone in? Advancing.
Advancing. Yeah.
Great. So it looked like a healthy blend between authoritative and modern, but we still want it to be, you know, accessible and friendly. And ironically, I'm surprised to see the percentage is as high as it is around classic. The classic designs tend to be very ornate. They work in certain treatments, but, you know, one of the things with the Palm Beach MPO is that, you know, I can envision your brand living in a lot of different contexts, a lot of different settings. And the moment you start going very ornate with logos, you lose some of the finesse of the mark.
Isn't the problem, though, with modern that it's just, you know, can be subject to a fad? I mean, you know, already that lift looks outdated. I mean, you find that?
Yeah. And there's a likelihood of that. But there's other ways of designing modern that would have more staying power.
Sure.
Is all classic, I mean, all classic is an ornate, isn't it? Just more serif fonts and things of that nature. It doesn't necessarily have to be detailed.
And that's a good point. You know, I think probably the majority of them tend to be more ornate than others. The real popular design nowadays, you know, for what it's worth, is, like I said earlier, just flat design, where you're choosing, you know, one or two bold, memorable colors, you know, an interesting typeface, leveraging iconography. You know, there's a real powerful use of iconography, as you saw with the other marks. Because along with it comes, you know, the opportunity to have more value in your brand and your logo. And so I think that we can strike the right balance between authoritative and, you know, it still be, you know, forward-thinking and forward-leaning, but timeless as well, so that it's not a fleeting type of color or typography, as you mentioned, sir. Super. That kind of wraps up our discussion. Any further thoughts or comments that you'd like to make?
Thank you.
No, that was a great exercise.
I think we were pretty consistent with the fact that we want something traditional. We want something that stays to the theme of things, yet as the held in the box, memorable. Like something that, from the imagery, sort of as a contemporary element, but still remembers that we're an organization that deals in transportation and mobility.
Well, I'm confident we can strike that balance, and we'll definitely be evaluating these results. So thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Really appreciate that. Yes, Mr. Chard.
I'm very interested in mobility versus transportation because mobility also implies walking and pedestrian.
Yeah.
Whereas transportation doesn't so much.
Okay. Good point. Yep. That's why that forward Pinellas was kind of intriguing, but again, maybe kind of too outside the box, but whatever. We're looking forward to it, Jacques. Thanks so much. I thought that was a great exercise. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on now. Our next item is the draft fiscal year 18 through 22 tip. Nick?
Madam Chair, I'm going to bring up Andrew Euler, who's our MPO tip coordinator. And just, you know, we did the fun side, sort of administrative conversations, and then some brainstorming so far, and now we're getting into the actual mission-critical events for the MPO. So our mission says that we are to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund transportation, and this exercise, this particular agenda item, deals with the funding for transportation. This is the program that allocates dollars to projects and services over the next 5 years. So Andrew's going to walk through this draft document for you this morning.
Welcome, Andrew.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so this is be a quick presentation on the executive summary portion of the draft TIP. So that was provided in all of your packets. And then the full document, which includes all the project pages, is available online and available to the public. So just to give you a background on the scheduling here, you can see at the top there the years and the months. So that first row shows that we're currently operating under fiscal year 17 to 21 TIP. And you can see the error there. We are here in May of 2017 with this first reading of the draft TIP for fiscal year 18 through 22. So we're currently accepting public comment. We've been to committees, and now we're here in front of you all to showcase the first reading. And then it'll be up for adoption in next month's meeting in June. And then the fiscal year 18-22 TIP, if adopted, would start July 1st. So that's the state fiscal year. So state-funded projects would begin being programmed then. And there's a few other lines there I wanted to show you in the rows. You can see way out there into fiscal year 19 to 23. And the reason we have this on here is so we can highlight the process it takes to get through the TIP until our draft. So you can see back in March, the local initiatives and transportation alternative applications that we received, the priority list being approved in July, then the draft work program coming out from DOT in October. So all this what makes its way forward, and then that would be available to the next TIP. So what are we looking for outside of just content updates, of course, with the projects? Well, is the document easy to navigate? Can you get the projects quickly? Do you understand the project? So are the descriptions of the projects and their termini easily understandable for you all, for our staff as well, and to the public? And then how is the summary, the executive summary? Are there updates to it? How we could show it to make things more easily understood? And then the type of project we put into the TIP. So we try to put in all projects, transportation projects within the county. And you can see here some major categories, but all these sections are in the TIP. So just to start off with the ones that are prioritized by the MPO board, we have our major MPO projects, which I showed in the schedule earlier, as well as the local initiatives program, our transportation alternatives program, and also prioritizing SunTrail, which you'll see later on. And then also we have included the DOT work program, also has their strategic intermodal system capacity projects. And then if it hasn't been included in those two major sections, we have other projects for FDOT and local projects, so as well as airports, railroads, and seaports. So if those haven't already been covered in the major MPO projects or any other priorities from the CIS, they'll be showing here. And in that section, I just want to point out that we also request from our local jurisdictions their projects that are in their capital improvement programs that may not have federal and state funding attached, but we want to show the whole gamut of projects. So maybe those are available for future federal and state funds. And then also, what kind of projects are really working simultaneously between our federal and state projects and the local projects that really depend on one another and complement one another. And lastly, we have three sections dedicated to the maintenance and operations. So major maintenance projects, operation and maintenance of roadways, so a lot of ITS, ATMS projects, and resurfacings, and then also operations and maintenance of the transit system. And I'm just going to go through a few of the section highlights. Of course, the executive summary is going to have a lot more projects and more detail than what we'll provide on slides, so it's better to look through that in detail. But I'll also go through some highlights. Again, the major MPO project that we prioritize annually from the cost feasible list in the long range transportation plan. So those are the ones that are based on our goals and objectives and rank. And the programmed amount of estimated funds available is around $200 million in the 5-year target for the TIP. That's fiscal year 18 through 22. Right now we have programmed $143 million. Part of that difference there is the Tri-Rail extension is a project that we've had in the MPO major priority list, and that's still waiting on FDOT to start the PD&Es for. So once that gets going, you might see that closer to that $200 million mark. And a few other highlights coming from last year as well. Allocated $3 million construction for Boutwell Road in fiscal year 22. Atlantic Avenue construction added in fiscal year 21. And then one we wanted to point out that's been mentioned today in our previous meetings is the US 1 multimodal corridor. So that study is underway, and that's the one we just had workshops down in Boca for. The local initiatives program. So one of our annual competitive application processes. 5-year target around $85 million. You'll see that the funding is around 93 programmed in there. So that's also including some other other matches from local and state sources. So when the product's on the state system, sometimes it's able to leverage other funding, which boosts it up to that 93 million. Highlights on this, a lot of projects in there, all 32 right now in there for our local initiatives program are either fully funded or partially funded. And there's also some reserve funds available in the 21 and 22 timeframe. So some of that funding will actually go towards the design of this current application process that we're going through. So, which those will be scheduled for funding and construction for fiscal year 23, while we can plan for design in the fiscal year 21, 22 category or years. Similarly, the Transportation Alternatives Program, another annual competitive application process that we have, 3-year target of $9 million. And again, we're showing the total funding cost of that project, so $18 million. So half of it being from the Transportation Alternative Program's funding category and the us being local matching funds. All projects funded for construction. And we have a lot of ones starting or having program construction upcoming in fiscal year 18. So 4 starting construction in late 2017, and then 5 funded for construction in the fiscal year 18. And then also the Sun Trail program, so a pretty new program out of the Office of Greenways and Trails. So this is for shared-use non-motorized trails. And this is $25 million a year of state funds to establish a statewide trails network. And you can see in that map, those are all the eligible areas, corridors for the statewide trails network funding. And so to be eligible for this funding must be also an MPO priority. We only have one project right now in the Sun Trail program. Few other highlights. So in the executive summary, we'll go through the priorities of the MPO, LI, TAP, and then the other tables will be dedicated to construction highlights. And so these are all other highlights we have for construction fiscal year 2018 that weren't already mentioned in the previous tables. A lot of these would be ones in the strategic intermodal system, the work program, so turnpike widening from Boynton Beach to Boulevard to Lake Work Road, State Route 80 resurfacing, I-95 resurfacing, Northwood Rail connection, and then I-95 at Atlantic Avenue interchange. And of course, this list is a lot longer in the executive summary, so you can really read through that and see all these other projects that are programmed for construction in this coming year. And then we have significant changes. So lastly, these are major changes that we show from our current transportation improvement program, fiscal year 17 through 21, that have changed into the fiscal year 18 through 22. And I have some highlighted ones here for I-95 interchanges and then turnpike widening. So I-95 interchanges, Gateway Boulevard, Boynton Beach Boulevard, Glades Road, and Northwick Boulevard. A lot of these have been in the committee before discussion, and I had some information on the next slide about those. And then turnpike widenings from Broward County Line all the way down to Lake Worth. And you can see those. So the interchanges have an advanced designs up to fiscal year 18 for most of those, and then the turnpikes delaying construction to either later years in the TIP or even outside that fiscal year 22 TIP window. And then, as we mentioned, these have been seen by the committees already, the executive summary, and they'll be seen again in the next round of committees, and also again for you all in the board. Some information and recommendations that came out of the committee, so the Technical Advisory Committee recommended to exclude the I-95 at Northlake project from the TIP because we have not approved it into the LRTP yet. And then also regarding managed lanes on I-95 or the turnpike, they recommended that DOT provide additional analysis of different mobility options within or parallel to those corridors outside of just providing the recommendation of managed lanes. The BTPAC, Bicycle to Railways Pedestrian Advisory Committee, similarly recommended to exclude I-95 out North Lake, as well as 45th from the TIP, because they have not been approved into the LRTP. And then all committees, but especially the Citizens Advisory Committee, had a lot of document changes. So improvements that I mentioned earlier about making them more easily understood and how we can better showcase these projects in the TIP and then online mapping. Oh, is that it? That was it.
Any questions or comments of Andrew? Mayor Grant.
My question is regarding the blue ways. Is that in part of the in any part of the TIF for the MPO?
Blue ways. Matthew.
Yeah, here Nick has the answer for that.
To the extent that state money has been allocated to either design or construction of that project, it would be included in the TIP. But I don't think there is any construction funding allocated to it yet. If you know otherwise from a legislative bill that went through this session, then it will be reflected in next year's TIP as it gets updated.
Okay, so the state has no funding for the blue ways currently?
Not for the construction. I believe that they had allocated funding for design of the crossing.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah.
But no construction dollars yet.
The final, and thank you for asking that question. And the next meeting, I'll make sure that you get an invitation. The final design should be coming in towards the end of June. And the funding for the permitting was also part of that last legislative $275,000. And then once all of that gets done, all of the public outsource begins. And then we have to figure out who's going to pay for it. And that was a very good question, because it'll give us an opportunity for the next session to be able to go back and see if we can find some state funding for it.
Mr. Pinsky's back there ready to, is that accurate? Is there anything more you'd like to add on the blue way?
Hopefully.
Okay. Councilmember Weinroth.
I was just wondering how far south that's supposed to be designed. Is it going to South County or?
Well, it's designed for the C-51 spillway location, but it'll open up to anybody that's further south or north. I mean, we're looking at it as, you know, as a connector all the way up to, say it again. Yeah, it really is a great connector.
Councilmember Kretzky.
Just an observation, I know the background, but I find it interesting that we've still got as the 8th ranked major MPO project, the Tri-Rail new service extension, which isn't even in the 2040 plan funded. It's just kind of odd because we heard that, right? And why I say that is because I just want to share the perspective that in North County, while we had been enthusiastic about that for many years and it kept moving, you know, a few meetings back when we recognized that maybe I should have, but you know, that there's no funding until after 2040. I just want to say it really kind of then dampens any enthusiasm whatsoever for that. And so it's kind of odd that it's ranked 8th when there's no funding. I just, you know, and then also I wanted to share then, you know, the Brightline attitude on public safety also has dampened enthusiasm for rail in North County. And so it's just interesting if I think about branding and promoting, and we were talked about, someone ought to start realizing the negativeness, you know, perspectives of projects that are being, you know, where we were going from an enthusiasm developing to now, you know, opposition. And, you know, it's interesting, Catalina Lakes in the Gardens is a very desirable neighborhood my daughter lives in, that every single home on this one block, and the only reason I can figure it out is either for sale or for rent, is because it's adjacent to rail. And so in North County, there's this incredible perception I just wanted to share about that is in the negative, and somehow that has to be addressed in a way. And then things like the I-95 Express Rail, I know we didn't discuss it, but when we then hear the legislature was changing the rules to where we're just going to be a donor county with those funds, you know, that enthusiasm for that goes away, right? I hope we never get it now. You know, it was coming and I didn't like it, but at least when the funds were being reinvested here. So I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say, you know what, from a
we're talking about branding and exciting and engaging the population, and I just wanted to speak to two items that we're doing everything but, you know, for North County on two items.
Okay, thanks. Commissioner McKinley.
Just a couple of comments. First of all, in the future, under the Local Initiatives Program, Project Number 6, which is the street lighting at the intersection of State Road 80 and Old State Road 80, which is County Road 880 now, you know, one night I drove through there and a traffic light was actually out and came through there. It had not recognized where I was under the moonlight. I would have driven straight into a canal. So I certainly appreciate that project being included. In the future, if FDOT and MPO could work together and look at providing street lighting, rural type street lighting on that whole stretch of State Road 80, because the folks that are traveling back and forth to the Glades, that's a dangerous stretch of road at night. The other comments I have, project number 9, again under the Local Initiatives Program, is Hamlin Boulevard. I certainly appreciate that we've bumped that up and we've got the P&E funding in 18. But if there's any way in the future when we're looking at TIPS or looking at this program, if we could look at trying to push up that construction, that is a road out in the acreage that kids walk to school, they walk to a county park, and there's no sidewalk on that stretch. It's something that's needed for the safety of our kids. And then the last comment I have is just a big thank you. And there's over $53 million starting in 18 through 21 for U.S. 27 improvements from the Broward County line up through South Bay. I know our first responders will probably appreciate having those road safety improvements put in place. It's remote, it's dark, it's hard to get to, it's dangerous. The accidents often result in fatalities. And those road improvements are desperately needed. And I have one question on the other FY18 construction implementation projects for the City of Belgrade roadways, the resurfacing money. Is that separate from the SCOP money that we've applied to the state for? Or
no, that is the SCOP money.
That is
the
SCOP money.
I got excited there thinking that it was extra.
It was an extra.
Thank you.
Great. Further comments or questions on the tip? Mayor Wilson.
Well, thank you. Just want to follow up with Commissioner McKinley. I've been on this board for quite some time, and I really would like for our director to push the idea of the lighting on that stretch, that 20-mile stretch on 80. I mean, we finally got the guardrails. And it took an act of Congress. I'm asking this board to let's give some direction, because the lighting on that stretch is vital. During the season when people are with the trucks, so foggy, it's highly impossible to see. So we've been asking for quite some time. So I'm asking us to let's take action now and quit, you know, fooling around with that.
Great. Good comment. Thank you. Yes, Nick.
Madam Chair, just on that point, the way for the MPO board to direct me and FDOT to really aggressively pursue street lighting on the portion of State Road 80 from the City of Belgrade to County Road 880 west of the Arden Development Project is for the MPO board to add it to its priority list of projects that would be seeking funding. The next opportunity for you to change the priority list is on the July MPO board agenda. So that's really the point in time when you would say, let's make that an MPO priority. Let's go and get funding for that exercise. I do want to make another caveat to that remark. If the MPO chooses to make it a priority to fund the installation of the lights, a local government will need to commit to funding the operational costs of those lights. Even though they're on a state highway, the state's practice is not to fund the operations of those streetlights. So the local government that is adjacent to the corridor east of the City of Belgrade's limits is the county government. So we would be looking for, in order to add that to the priority list, we would be looking for the county to make a commitment to fund the operations of those lights so that we could make a compelling argument to DOT that we can provide the capital money necessary to install them. There will be an entity willing to pay the electric bill and replace the bulbs so that they can continuously maintain the lighting in that corridor.
Excellent. Mayor Triola.
I just wanted again to thank everyone on this board for putting the Boutwell Road project on. As many people may not know, because many things are called Lake Worth that aren't actually within the jurisdiction of Lake Worth, we're a city of 7 square miles. And, you know, so we go to Boutwell Road. That's pretty much the extent of it, which is just west of 95. So every decision that's made for every opportunity for economic development happens within those short 7 square miles. So I thank you for being on the plan. If there's any way to move it up, to give you an idea, when the legislature looks at adding another homestead exemption to property values, again, collecting taxes from 7 square miles, that means the majority of my homes valued at 110 to 120,000 is going to severely take from our pocketbooks. One of the best ways to combat that is through development and economic development. And what better way than a regional park of commerce? To give you an idea, we have a 450,000 square foot flex space that opened in, and it can't lease its spots because the tractor trailers can't move in or out of the space. So that was, you know, phases of this have been dependent upon the federal government with an EDA grant and, of course, the state government, which vetoed the money not once but twice. So we sit there in waiting to see what happens again this year. But this portion, thanks to the MPO, can actually make us start bringing people in and help us to combat and fight for tax revenue that'll keep us on the process of moving forward. So I just wanted that for your consideration to thank you.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Hubbard.
I wanted to ask about the project that's on Silver Beach Road in Riviera Beach. I wanted to find out, do the MPO and FDOT, who are the major authority in that big project?
Well, the good news is that the major authority in that project is sitting in the back corner of the room. He's talking on the telephone. It's not actually a federal or state-funded project. It is a county-funded project. So the county owns that corridor, and the county engineering department is the funding source for that corridor. One of the and I'll make a side note as George is getting off the phone to come and answer the question. Silver Beach is the corridor. What we're trying to do with the TIP in general is asking all of our local governments to provide us with a list of projects that they will be funding, even if they're only using city revenues. So your infrastructure surtax projects that are transportation related, we would love to show them in the document and in the map so that we can use this as a resource to the public when any construction activity is upcoming to make our transportation system better. We have one place to go to show everyone where we're building and to improve collaboration on how we build projects. So if you would please take that as a homework assignment, ask your city managers to give us that data so that we can incorporate those projects into our TIP. Same thing with the county's infrastructure surtax projects that are transportation related. We've requested that data from them in a format that we can incorporate. We haven't gotten it in a useful format. It's a PDF document that looks like it was faxed several times and sort of not scannable. And we are trying to avoid having to retype all of the content. But anyway, we're working with our local governments to show projects that will be done so that your questions can be asked in this forum and the right entity to answer them can be identified. In this case, the right entity is the County Engineering Department. So if you have a question about the nature and timing of Silver Beach, it's a George Webb County Engineering question to answer.
Great. Any further comments or questions on the draft TIP? Seeing none, again, this is a draft. Everybody take a look. Have your cities and counties look at it and get any comments back to Nick. So that concludes our discussion on the TIP. We'll now move to correspondence and partner agency updates. Nick.
Madam Chair, these are really just information items. And item 3D is a placeholder. And just in case any of our partner agencies, whether it's DOT, whether it's PalmTran, RTA, or even the county in the engineering department wants to come and make an update. We wanted to give them an opportunity to address the board. None of them have approached me and asked for the opportunity to take this take advantage of this today, but it's a placeholder item on the agenda just in case they want to come forward. And that really wraps up our information items.
Excellent. George, do you want to address us on any items since you're there? Okay. DOT? No? Okay, great. Thanks. All right. Administrative items. We've got public agency report, our fiscal report. Anything you want to highlight in any, either of those documents?
Just as a reminder, we did introduce these documents to you a few months ago. We're trying to improve your awareness of how well we're performing or where we have opportunities for improvement with respect to our public involvement. And we're also trying to give you more information regarding the financial health of the agency. These are just administrative documents. If you have any discussion that you would like to see, please feel free to raise them, but we don't intend to spend any time with them unless a board member asks for that attention.
Okay, great. So then we'll go directly to member comments. Is there any member that has a comment? Mr. Kretzky?
Just one item I want to share, and I think Nick may be talking about this in future meetings, but, you know, a few months back we had adopted pedestrian and bicycle safety performance measures and targets, and as I reflected upon that, and I certainly supported that, it's interesting because the MPO, we adopted that, and it won't happen unless every government represented here, in fact, embraces it. And even then, these are long stretches, if you will. So I just wanted to report that last night I was successful in getting the town council in Jupiter to fully adopt, as part of our strategic plan, complete alignment with these MPO objectives. And so we'll be working to deliver our part to this, reducing the injury and fatalities for pedestrians and bicycles. And I would encourage, it seems to me, everybody sitting at this table ought to make sure that your government does likewise. Otherwise, the MPO can never achieve anything that like this. And so I just wanted to encourage that.
Thank you very much. Mayor Grant.
I did go to Sunfest using Palm Tram and Tri-Rail. It was a very good experience using the Transit app, and I look forward to the technology catching up so I can just link the Transit app or a new app to my credit card so I can just wave through everything.
Excellent. I think, Clinton, you have a fan here at the table. Commissioner McKinley.
Just a few things. First of all, last week it was some pretty interesting news, something I've actually been working on for quite some time. For those of you that read in the paper, GL Homes has pulled their zoning application for their Indian Trail Roads project out in Loxahatchee. They did a presentation on their proposal last night to the Indian Trail Improvement District. That was pretty favorably received. It will result in a pretty healthy conversation about what their proposal is and where they want to put their development. But on the positive side, it would significantly reduce the need for infrastructure or transportation-related infrastructure improvements in an area that we can't afford to do infrastructure improvements. So, my opinion is it's good news. I'll be heading out in a couple hours, and then we'll be attending next week the National Association of Counties, a conference out on the West Coast of the country, not the West Coast of Florida. And one of the breakout sessions is on freight rail and how to incorporate it in rural areas. And as we have a conversation, bringing freight rail possibly up 27, US 27 corridor into the Blades for an inland port, inland logistics center, whatever the term du jour is. So I hope to bring back some positive news and educational points based on that conference. And very lastly, I'd like to congratulate Mayor Burdick on being the Commissioner of the Year from the League of Cities yesterday. So congratulations.
Yay! Thank you. Well deserved. Would you like to say anything?
Well, I was very surprised and of course, honored because I had received that as a school board member, so I had never thought that I would be honored with the award, and I want to thank you very much. We have a lot of assets here in Palm Beach County, and we will all improve the quality of life of our residents, and we all can work
collaboratively together. We may not always agree on all the finer points, but in the long run, I think our community, Palm Beach County and the state benefits when we all work together to solve our problems.
Excellent. And I'd like to also congratulate Commissioner Keith James on becoming president of the Palm Beach County League of Cities. We're very... And to Mayor Gerwig on becoming the first vice president. So she will... She is in the chair. So it's wonderful. We really appreciate from the League all the county commission attending our gala yesterday. It meant a lot to us to have our partners there. So is there any further questions or comments to come before this board? If not, we are adjourned at 10:58.